Blog Talk Radio.
Outstanding. Thank you, British Lady, and good evening. Hello. What's happening? Shalom, if you're over there in Israel. Top of the morning to you if you're in Ireland. Nevertheless, hope everybody's doing wonderful. I am your host, Dave Atwell, and I hope everybody's doing fine, and we appreciate you doing this evening on Pop Culture Stars. So, we are having a dreary evening tonight. We are going to fight through the arthritic pain that goes on in old people's joints when the rain happens. Nevertheless, I'm going to kick it around to our steam panel, which is kind of a lonely place this evening, but by God, we're going to make it. I'm going to walk out front because I can't walk out back because it's raining and light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. Good news is I don't have to fight the janky back door here at Atwell Manor. I can go out. You know, I'm going to get that damn door replaced. Is it not raining? Hey, it looks like it's not raining. Let's go fight the bad door in the back. Want to get that door knocked out and get a French door put in. I think it's going to cost me about $1,500. It's just every time you get $1,500, something else blows up that half. Y'all know how that works. Nevertheless, oh, yeah. Let's kick it over to that fine state of Arkansas and talk to my granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing well, Mr. Dave. I mean, I just, you know, joined this big 60 club, you know, last Monday on the 29th of August was my 60th birthday. Just, you know, so I am now officially part of the 60 club, and I've been busy, you know. Weather's been fairly decent. We've had some rain. We're supposed to have a cold front moving in next week, but I am definitely, I woke up this morning, went outside, and it was like 60 degrees outside. I'm like, oh, yes, this is my type of weather. Anything above 70 is sometimes too hot for me, so I'm ready for the cooler temperatures, but I'm good, you know. Like I said, I've been busy. Oh, and I have something to share with you, Mr. Dave. I'm just sorry that all of our other panel is not on here tonight yet, but they'll just have to find out later. But I'm still going by the name Granny Hulkster, but I'm sure you saw the pictures on Facebook. I had a gentleman, a very good friend of mine, that comes to Wrestling for a Cause a lot. And at Extrava Slam Zone, where I got to slap James Storm twice that night at the show, which was totally awesome, he told me that he says, I'm going to start calling you the godmother of wrestling. So I had two very good friends, Katie and John. They made me a shirt. You know, it's black. I don't wear a lot of black, but, you know, I'm going to get a yellow one made with the same saying on it. But they had a little image of a little lady, you know, older lady up in the corner of the shirt with curly hair and glasses to represent me, obviously, kind of a cartoon type character, you know. And you know, like the Godfather movie where you have the black background and the big white lettering?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they made the lettering like the Godfather, except it says the Godmother of Wrestling. So I am now known as Granny Hulkster, the godmother of wrestling.
Outstanding.
And well, I have to tell you, know, and well, at Extrava Slam, you know, we had EC3 there and Control Your Narrative, which was pretty awesome because we got to meet EC3 when we went to Texas for WrestleMania. So I never had got to meet James Storm till that night, but we reserved a front row VIP table, you know, because it was like for my early birthday gift, you know. So I had a bag of baked lay barbecue potato chips laying on the table that I had not opened yet. Well, he picks up my bag of chips, right, and just barely puts his hand around the bag of chips. That bag of chips, you know how, you know, much air is in the little bag of potato chips. That bag of chips popped open, I mean exploded open, and chips went flying all over the table. I did not even get to enjoy my baked Lay's barbecue chips. So he gets in my face, and he's pointing to his face. He says, "Well, Granny, go ahead. I dare you to slap me. They tell me in the back how tough you are, blah, 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 blah." I said, "Can I? Will you let me?" He says, "Yeah, go ahead, baby, go for it." And so I go to slap him, and he backs up. And he says, "Ooh, I thought you were so supposed to be so tough, Granny Hulkster." And my good friend Sam Stackhouse that he was wrestling against, Sam tapped him on the shoulder. And James says, "Ref, get away." You know, he thought it was a referee. And Sam tapped him again. He says, "Ref, I told you, get out of here, get away. You leave me alone, you know." Well, he turns around, and Sam just decks him. Well, Sam grabs him. He says, "Okay, Granny, go for it." And I slap him on his face. I mean, you could hear the pop. And the crowd was like, "Whoa," you know, "Granny, Granny." You know, the Granny chant started, you know. And Sam says, "One more time." And I slapped him again, got to slap him again. But what was really funny was James Storm was going around the ring, and Sam grabbed somebody's bucket of popcorn out of their hand, and he poured the popcorn down the back of James Storm's wrestling trunks. So James Storm is walking around with popcorn. It looked like his wrestling trunks was a bucket of popcorn, you know, because he had all this popcorn in his wrestling trunks, and he kind of pulls down the wrestling trunks a little bit to get all the popcorn out. And he's going around, and he's digging out the popcorn between his legs, throwing the popcorn back in the crowd. So after the show, I told him, I said, "Well, thanks for letting me hit you, James. That was a lot of fun." He says, "Yeah, Granny." And he's rubbing his jaw. He says, "You did pretty damn good for a girl." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And my son had a Budweiser cowboy hat. And he actually ended up giving James Storm that cowboy hat. And James Storm says, "Bro, are you sure you want to do that?" He says, "That's a nice hat." And Budweiser, I guess, happens to be James Storm's favorite type of beer. So he was pretty impressed that Anthony gave him, you know, the cowboy hat. So,
well, that was awful nice of him. Sounds like you guys had a great time. Ain't nothing like slapping people around and getting popcorn down your shirt all in the same evening, so you can't go wrong with that. But, yeah, I hope you had a wonderful
birthday.
It was
a lot of fun. Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun, so.
Standing. Now, just when you think. Just
when you think. Looks like we got somebody else in the queue, Mr. Dave.
That's right. And just when you think it was going to be the Granny and Dave show tonight, putting everybody to sleep, by God, voices from above have come to save the day.
Yes, our hero.
I'm telling you, got two of them showing up here. So first off, let me kick it to the south, to the fine city, town, Providence, or place, known as Ravenel. I don't know what the hell it is. It is a township. It is something.
Pretty much a town.
It's a place. As they say back home, it's a joint. Nevertheless, our good brother, Amazing Velvet, what is going on, man?
What's
good to have you back.
Yeah, it's been a rough 6 weeks. I got one more treatment, and then I'll get a scan. So hopefully I'll get some time off because I need it. It's been beating the crap out of me. But, I got to say something to Granny. Granny, everything you described was heel. You slapped the dude in the face. Now you're the
guy.
Hey,
he
that is
you
a
know
heel
what?
Move.
No,
that's
it's
a heel
not.
Move.
And no, it's not, Velvet. He ruined my bag of potato chips. And Sam told me to slap him. So, you know, I mean, he ruined my bag
that's
of potato chips that I didn't even get to enjoy. No, it's not. It was self-defense because he ruined my bag of potato chips, Velvet.
Oh, Lord,
and besides, the godmother of wrestling, which I'm going to have a yellow shirt made with that same spit stain on it, not
well,
just
you know
a
the
black
Godfather,
shirt.
You know the Godfather was a heel. He was in the mafia. Now you're the godmother, so you're in the mafia. You're a heel.
No, I'm not the mafia, Velvet. And this is not this is not the time to roast Granny
you.
Tonight.
I'm not roasting.
No,
you.
I know.
Yeah,
I know,
like
but I'm
me.
Not. But I'm not turning heel either, Velvet. You know, I'm still
okay.
Sweet, lovable, innocent
anyway.
Granny that everybody
loves.
Oh, my
loves. God. Well, you need to hook me and Stro to come down there and wrestle in front of you.
Hey,
you
know what?
And get some contact,
I mean,
man.
You know, and besides, James Storm, he told me to slap him. So, you know, I had every permission
oh,
to be able to slap him. He gave me permission
oh,
to slap him.
Boy.
So, you know.
All right. Anyway.
I had to make a,
right,
I had to make a butt for the fans.
I got
and they
you.
Loved it.
So, Dave, I got the Sheikster gave me the copy of the picture that he drew of me as the pop, as a Funko Pop. Dude, I've sold 50 of them in the last 3 months.
No kidding. No, I haven't gotten to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good, man. I was like, that is awesome. And I gave one away to a little girl because we've been bowling, like, every Saturday. And now we joined the league, and we bowl on Monday. But Monday, we were off this week. So we got our team together to practice. The little girl was bowling next to us and talking to the parents. But this guy had the same thing I had. He had colorectal cancer. And right now he's in remission. I said, well, good for you. And then we started talking and this and that. And I said, hang on a second. I got something in my bag. And I pulled out one of those pictures, and I signed it to the little girl. I said, what's her name? They gave me her name. So I said, now you'll go on YouTube and look me up. And they were like, what? I said, yeah, I got my own channel.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to get some more matches out. I'm trying to get more on there. The guy I've been working with the last couple of days. Let me tell you this bull crap. So right now I'm getting paid under the table. I don't care. And I don't care who hears it. Because nobody will tell me what I can make. And I'm tired. I got to make a little bit of money, you know? So anyway, we're building this elaborate display that takes 3 hours to build, to put a refrigerator in it, and a whether it's electric or gas. And we have all the stuff to do and all the signage and all that. Let me tell you something. Pain in the behind. I'm over it. I got two more to do. I'm done after that. I was like, dude, I'm not doing that anymore. It's ridiculous. So, yeah. And then we went down. We did two in Savannah, one in Bluffton, one in Pooler, Georgia. Now we're doing Charleston. We did Somerville, and we did Somerville and North Charleston. We have Charleston itself and then Mount Pleasant. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just done. Just give me my money so I can run. But anyway, it's been pretty
that's
funny.
That's a lot of travel.
But it's just a pain in the mind. These things, and then when we did in Savannah, they couldn't find it. It took them an hour to find it. I'm like, oh, my God, now we're an hour behind. It ended up being 3 hours behind, but I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. Anyway, that's what I've been doing. So anyway, as far as everything else, today was a good day. I'll take it because I've been really home-ridden for the last 6 weeks. It's been really rough. People text me all the time, you know, between wrestlers and podcasters and whatever, saying checking on me, which is good. They're keeping me going. But, yeah, it's good to be on the show again. I love this show. I love you guys. You guys always make me laugh because I go down that rabbit hole every daggum time.
Well, we've missed you, Velvet. We've missed you, my friend. So
there's
somebody else in the queue too, Mr. Dave.
All right, who else?
Absolutely. So I'm gonna move back up the coast here, right down the road from me, and introduce our good brother, my former high school classmate.
Oh boy.
Drum roll, please. Stro, what is going on?
Hey, everyone. How are you doing?
Hey, Stro.
What is up?
Hey, Stro.
Oh, God. Yeah, Velvet. I don't know if it'd be a good idea to go to Arkansas, man. Granny would steal our thunder. Really, she had to get her stuff in, you know. And then how can you follow that? You know what I mean, really?
Yeah, you can't follow that. You're right.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come to Arkansas anytime you darn well please. Granny is not going to steal your old thunder, okay? I'll share the spotlight with you all, you know.
See?
We'll share the spotlight together.
With that, godmother of wrestling shirt on. And
we'll share the spotlight together, bro. I'm not
going to
steal your thunder, honey. I would never steal your thunder, Stro, you know.
Oh, yeah, but
I'll share the spotlight with y'all.
Start talking like Tom, like Marlon Brando.
Hey,
no, I gotta talk like Marlon Brando. I can't. No, that ain't gonna happen. They ain't ever gonna. I'm still gonna be sweet, lovable, innocent granny like always.
Oh boy,
you'll have your
gang
dressed in black. You know, red plate.
I don't wear a lot of black, guys. I mean, that just they happen to make that T-shirt a black one, but I'm gonna get a yellow one made. With the same, you know, the Godmother Wrestling Granny Hulkster on it, because I need a new granny shirt anyways, you know, so I need a new yellow granny
out
shirt.
Those kisses of death thing. Yeah, I know it's you, Fredo.
Granny's sitting there in her chair, got the cat in her lap, and she's like, I understand you ate my chips and you flung popcorn all over.
He destroyed my bag of chips, you know. I didn't even get to enjoy them, you know.
You could be petting that hairless cat. Hey.
No, I don't like hairless cats. I like my kitty cats with lots of fluffy fur,
not
you know. I don't like hairless cats. I sent
good to have you guys joining us this evening because today,
you're heroes.
Yeah, man. I spent the day redoing my wall of fame in the house. And what is my wall of fame? Glad you asked. That is all my autographs, 8x10s and 5x6s and 12x2s and 2x4s.
Well,
and
I got a new one for you.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
But
that's the wall.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
You guys will be tickled to death to know that you were right there. Stro, I think you were right over top of Ivan Koloff and under Dallas Page. Remember, right? And then
awesome.
Velvet, I've got Velvet right under my flare section there where I've got all my Rick.
Yeah.
I've got all kind of. Then I got Charlotte when I met her last or 2 years ago, and you know, honestly, with Charlotte, she was such a very nice, engaging, endearing person when you meet her. You know, I don't know if sometimes if it's part of her job that she comes off kind of turds on. You know,
right.
That's part of what she's trying to do. But when you meet her in person, she is genuinely a very nice, attractive, endearing person, man. I was totally impressed with her. So, I've got the whole, God, man, and it's amazing the stuff that I've got up there. I mean, some of the names, and then what was sad is that there's a lot of names that are up there that are no longer with us. You know, Len Dawson just passed last week, and I've got Len Dawson's autograph. Mickey Gilley, Ivan Koloff, our good friend Dango from The Walking Dead. All these guys are no longer with us, man, and it's like, and I also have Marlon Brando's autograph, which, speaking of Brando,
right.
I bought that autograph. Jesus, it was probably 20, God, it was probably, it had to have been after, before Rob was born. So it was probably 20, 25 years ago that I bought that autograph and went ahead and started doing a verification thing, because all of them give you a certificate of authenticity. And what was the line from Tommy Boy? I can take a shit in a box and slap a guarantee on it, you know?
Yeah.
So the certificates of authenticity are often kind of suspect themselves. But I'm here to tell you the Duvall that I've got, the De Niro and the Brando autograph, all three of them. And I bought these things years and years ago before it got hot and heavy and sweaty on eBay. They're dead on. So I told Rob, I said, it's okay, when I croak, they have to stay on the wall for now. But when I die, you can do what you want to do with them. Doesn't mean you got to smother me out tonight with a pillow. But, yeah.
Right.
The things that are up on that wall is just, I got Shatner, Nimoy, just a slew of the Walking
That's
Dead
cool.
guys. When it comes down to wrestlers, God, we got Valiant. And I even bought Valiant
okay.
book from him. At, yeah, that's right. When we were doing the Cape Fear Con, Stro. And I went ahead and picked up his book and got him to sign an 8x10 for me. And, of course, I got Stro.
Cool.
I've got Flair like three or four times. Arn Anderson. Animal, Road Warrior.
Arn Anderson.
Got him.
I'm mad at him.
I tell you what, man, he's an intimidating some bitch, man. He is.
Well, when we were talking to Steamboat at Clover High School here in South Carolina, not to cut you off, sorry.
No, good.
Arn Anderson comes over. And Susan has all these people signing her hat, right? So we've all signed the hat. Stroh signed it. I signed it. A lot of, wrestlers have signed it. Steamboat signed it. And then Arn Anderson came over. And he looks at Susan dead in the eye. She goes, Sue Green, call me Tex. He goes, I know the name. Turn around, walk away. I had to hold
what?
Susan back, and Susan's going to knock the shit out of me. I went, Susan? And Steamboat backed up. Steamboat was like, because he don't like women's wrestling. He didn't like any of them. Supposedly, but he didn't like Susan at all. So, and then Steamboat goes, "What Steamboat?" I think is what's that all about? I said, "Hell, I don't know." I said, "But I know if I didn't grab her by the back of the belt, she was gonna go over there and knock him out."
Yeah, he's.
Wouldn't that be a sight?
Oh, really? Be awesome. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And Rob, his son was nice. His son was really nice. Talked to his son for 30 minutes. He was pretty cool. He's, he understands, his position in life and his position in the business. And, he's getting some opportunities, but, they're not like great opportunities at this point, but he's got an opportunity to be on TV. So he's humble as far as that's concerned, which I liked. So, obviously, something was good done there. But, don't be a jerk, man. The business is hard enough as it is. I mean,
Because when I met him, he was he was engaging and friendly. But when he talks at you, doesn't talk to you type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's just now when I met Animal. He was a totally different guy. He was like game show host compared to Arn Anderson.
He's super nice.
Animal's cool, yeah.
He was always super nice. Always.
Yeah.
Now, when we met Arn Anderson in Hot Springs at CWA, he was really nice to us. I mean, he was really nice to us when we met him in Hot Springs at a wrestling show.
You could always go in the scrum and, like, voice your backstage frustrations and then get fired.
Right. But you never know what to see. Here's the thing. You don't know what anybody's going through that particular day anyway, but there's no reason to be a jerk. You know,
now I tell you, a person that was really rude to me, we went to a show that Jerry Bostick did over in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and Tatanka was there, Chavo Guerrero Jr. was there, which I'd met him before at CWA. He was really super nice. Tatanka was really super nice. MVP was there, and I asked him if he would sign my Granny Hulkster shirt, my original one. He says, no offense, but I'm not going to sign it because it has the name Hulk, you know, Hulkster on it, I guess because of the feud that he had with Hulk Hogan back in the day.
Ooh,
and he wouldn't sign my shirt. And I'm like,
cool.
Fine, you know. I said, I'm not even related to Hulk Hogan, you know. And I'm like, you know, I said, fine, no problem. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. And I moved along, you know, but he was kind of rude to me. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, whatever.
Earlier? Go ahead. James Storm is a nice dude that you met. He's always been nice. And Tim Frankie Kazarian the same way. D'Lo Brown the same way. You know, Mark Henry, Big Show, all them guys know where they went and where they came from and what they've done, you know, and those are the guys that you want to talk to. You know, when they were a jerk like that, I'd walk away too. I would be like, yeah, I can get
We met Ricky Steamboat before. He was really super nice, but MVP was just a jerk.
I don't know what he was going through that day. Maybe he didn't want to be there, you know, you don't know.
I just wanted him to sign my shirt, you know, no big deal,
yeah,
you
well.
Know, but he was just like, you know, yeah, but he
well,
says, well, he says nothing personal, but, you know, and I'm like, fine, whatever, sorry I wasted your time, you know.
Maybe he has to think.
That's all good.
You can catch, I can recall at a con. One time, this one young guy came up, and I say young guy, he was probably about a 15, 16-year-old kid, came up to my table and said, you know, hey, I read your first book. I really liked it, and I saw you were going to be at this. As a matter of fact, it was the Crystal Coast Show stroke that we'd been through many a times. And he was telling me, you know, hey, you know, I really enjoyed the book, yak, yak, yak. I just wanted to come by and meet you and shake your hand. So I shook his hand. And, right, I shook his hand, and somebody, I still to this day can't remember, somebody came up out of nowhere and just Pearl Harbored me with a question. And I just instinctively turned around, answered the question real quick, and turned back around, and the guy was gone. And still to this day, I feel bad because I hope that young man doesn't feel like I was just like, okay, cool, buddy, get away from my table. Because that was hardly the case. But a lot of times when you go to these shows, there's just so damn much going on that it's kind of hard to, you know, to dial in on exactly one thing at one time. And that's why some of these guys, I know a friend of mine had a run-in with Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh,
apparently,
he's a
jerk. Boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I hear more and more about him being this way, you know, afterwards. This was probably Attitude Era when all was going on. But he had a book, almost like a little, like a ledger kind of book, that he always carried around with him to all the wrestling matches. And he was one of these guys that, you know, went to every – it didn't matter if they were fighting under a tent, he would go to it. So he knew all the independent guys and all that jazz. So they were coming outside of one of the venues, and Bubba Ray Dudley was standing on the side of the road, apparently waiting on a cab or something to that effect. And he just walked up to him and said, hey, you know, really dig your stuff. Don't want to hold you up. I was just wondering, would you mind signing my book? And he said Bubba Ray Dudley grabbed his book, told him to go F himself, and threw his book in traffic.
Oh, wow.
And, Yeah, he said that it happened so fast that he didn't even have the wherewithal to go get the book out of the. He says, with all the names
well,
I had
yeah.
that, I ran in traffic to get it. He said, but it just it shocked me so much that by the time I kind of brought myself to what was going on that he said I couldn't find the damn thing. I guess it got swept away with the traffic. But I thought to myself,
wow.
I says, man, that is, you know, I can understand. You know, if you're there are times if there's a wrestler or any person, like if they're eating dinner, leave them the hell alone. Or if they got their kids with them, leave them the hell alone. But when you're famous, be at whatever level, you've got to understand that there are going to be those inopportune moments when people are going to come
absolutely.
Up to you. You know, and...
But here's the thing. He shouldn't be a jerk because these people pay his paycheck.
Right. No, I totally agree.
So, I'm just
totally
saying,
agree.
He was a jerk to me on the... On the Busted Open podcast, they had called in, and the guy that's working with him, what's the guy that's working with him, Stro?
Oh, God, forget his name on the podcast.
Anyway, I called in, and I got on, right, and I started talking, and the guy goes, oh, the Amazing Velvet, he runs the Battleground Championship Wrestling, and he says, and the guy knew who I was like, shocked, and we started talking, mm-hmm. and Bubba Ray started being a jerk to me. I'm like, straight up, I'm like, dude, what is your deal? And they hung up on me right as I said that. I said, like, what is your deal?
Wow.
And he was telling me, he goes, you a wrestler? I go, yeah, I'm a wrestler. He goes, I was trained by Susan Green at the WWE Hall of Famer. He goes, yeah, whatever. He started talking shit. I'm like, oh, my God. I wasn't even talking to him. I was talking to the other guy. And then he hung up on me, and then the next thing he said, he goes, quit answering the phone with wrestlers that don't know shit. Oh, I was pissed.
Wow.
Pissed. I said, okay. I'm like, all right. I said, and I said to myself, I better not go to a show when he's on it because I'm going to call him out. But anyway, that's here and there, but it just, first of all, you understand, like you said, the level of famousry they have, they got to understand. People want to engage with them because they see you, how they see you on TV, and they just want to ask you a question or get something. So don't be a jerk. Why? Why do you throw someone's book in traffic? I mean, really? Come on, bro.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
it's,
That'd be like me and Stro. That'd be like me and Stro peeing on somebody's cars. Come on, man.
Yeah. And I mean... as a fan, there's a certain amount of decorum you have to have. You know, if you see him, like I said,
decorum.
I remember having to cheer up Zeus one time, Tony Lister, because he was upset because he was signing autographs. And this is like just when Hulk Hogan got in a lot of trouble for saying certain things, right? And I guess he was being bugged about it, right? And he was there, and I had to come with you. I gave him a Slim Jim, and, you know, he started getting around.
That's fun, dude.
He's in the room no longer with us. He passed away a little while ago.
And they were getting ready to do another Friday. And then he passed away, so they scrapped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had everybody together. They had Chris Tucker. They had Ice Cube. They had everybody.
Yeah, everybody was ready to go.
Yep. Sonny died. They went, what are we going to do? Can't do without Devo. And they said, well, guess we ain't doing it.
Yeah, I guess we ain't doing it. Oh, well.
So.
But,
he was doing a film when he passed away.
Mm-hmm. It's awful.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So who's the wrestler now in WWE who wrestles in the bare feet and he always doing the surfer, the bro stuff and all that?
Oh, you're talking about
Riddle. Okay. Well, Daniel, my grandson, he's what, 9? 8-9? Hell, I don't know. He's in the 8-9 range.
I don't know.
I keep up with graduations, that kind of stuff. Birthdays, it comes once a year, you know. But
right.
When they were leaving, it's the first time he had ever gone to wrestling. And he actually spotted my daughter and son-in-law and him on the Titantron when Seth Rollins was up there running his mouth. So he's having the best time of his life. He gets to see himself on the Titantron. He's there at his first, you know, thing of fights and everything. So he goes outside the venue, and as they're walking to get to their truck, Riddle's standing there shooting shit on the phone, right? So my grandson tells my daughter, oh, it's Riddle. And before her or my son-in-law can say anything, Daniel ran right on over there to him. And Daniel was like, you know, you're the coolest guy, blah, blah, blah. And damn if Riddle just, whoever he was talking to, he said, hey, you know, let me call you back in a second. Hung up and signed some stuff for my grandson and even took a picture with him. And
that's awesome.
He said it was funny because my daughter was talking about it. She says, we were chewing his ass the whole time. You know, saying, Daniel, you don't do anything. And said to Riddle was like, hey, this is great. So this is your first fight you've been to, huh? Did you have a good time? And he said that right there and shot the breeze with him for a couple minutes. And then I guess his ride pulled up and he says, hey, I got to get going. You know, I got to head to the airport. Good meeting you guys. You know, travel safe. And he did the old fist bump with Daniel and got in his ride and split. But several things happen when that goes on. Number one, it's you've just made a fan out of somebody who was already a fan, if you understand my meaning. It just, your stock went up with that simple 90-second transaction. You know what I mean? And you know, so what happened? As soon as Daniel comes home, he's asking my son-in-law, hey, can you find me a Riddle action figure? Can you find me a Riddle this, a Riddle that? And, of course, they're going to buy it for him because, you know, he had that experience and everything. But I thought it was cool as hell for this guy who was obviously in the process, if you will, talking on the phone, waiting on his ride, yak, yak, yak. And Daniel just ran right up to him and was like, hey, my name's Daniel. And he actually hung his phone up and you know, he could have said, hey, beat it, kid. So, you know, when you hear that stuff, man, it gives you faith to know that there are people still
there's
know
a few
how
good
to ones
out there.
Out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, when we went to, you know, WrestleMania this year with our friend from New York, you know, we went to WrestleCon that last day. And, of course, I wore my original Granny shirt. And the professional wrestlers that I know personally,
heel,
like Ricky and Robert, I'm not a heel. Shut up. Anyways, but, like, I know Ricky and Robert, you know, I know Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I'm friends with Rikishi. You know, they were all happy to see me. I got to see Ron Simmons again. I got to meet JBL. And Ron Simmons says, Granny, when was that we met? And I said, oh, probably about 3 or 4 years ago at an autograph signing in Roland, Oklahoma at the Cherokee Casino. He says, oh, yeah. He says, that's right. He says, I was with Tony Atlas. And I said, yep. And so he says, well, go over and tell Booker T that Ron and John said you could have any piece of merchandise you wanted for free. I go tell Booker T that. And we've met Booker T and Ted DiBiase back in March at a Comic-Con up here in, you know, Arkansas that they were at in Rogers. And they were really super nice and everything. And he says, well, you tell them boys to get their butts over here. You know, by then they were already gone. But people that, I mean, they were walking around. We were walking around, and, like, we walked in, and the Godfather was there at his table. And he's like, Granny Hoaxer, I like that. That's cool. That's awesome. Heath Slater took a picture of me, and I didn't even know it till my son and my friend told me that Heath Slater had taken a picture of me, you know, with his phone. And I think, I don't know, remember which luchador wrestler it was, but one of the luchador wrestlers, he wanted his picture with me. He says, oh, I got to get my picture with you, Granny, you know, and I didn't even get a chance to get my phone out to get a picture, you know, with him. But the professional wrestlers that didn't know me were absolutely amazed. I mean, I had people walking around, you know, pointing my shirt out. I mean, the people from Fight TV, they did an interview with me, and then they talked about me, you know. They mentioned my name again towards the end of the interview. My friend from New York, he says, Granny, don't be surprised if one of these days somebody from WrestleCon calls you up and says, hey, we want you at WrestleCon to set up a table, you know, get some merchandise or whatever. And I said, yeah, Brian, that's not going to happen. He says, never say never, Granny. He says, you were so popular. I mean, you were so popular at WrestleCon that, you know, and I got to talk to Jungle Boy and Christian Cage, which was pretty awesome. And then, like I said, I was sharing with Dave and the Green Room guys that my son, they had the all-out pay-per-view at our local movie theater Sunday night. My son bought us 4 tickets for me, my husband, and him and our friend. So we went to the movie theater and watched the AEW all-out pay-per-view, which was pretty cool, you know, and stuff Sunday night. So that was pretty awesome.
Y'all remember that match with Jericho and Undertaker long while back where Jericho and Undertaker are at ringside, right? And right before Jericho brings Undertaker back to the ring, some fan says, why don't you go back to Toronto? And Jericho replies, I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Yeah, because his dad was a hockey player.
Right.
Ola Jericho. Yeah. That's funnier than him. Yeah, that's you know, when it comes down to getting it, I remember, and I've spoken on here before about going to Savannah when I was a kid and watching the fight at the Civic Center down there. Now, on the way they used to have it, let's say you are, if you're looking down on top of the ring from above, okay, from the 2 o'clock position, there was a black curtain, and that's where the bad guys came out. And then in the 10 o'clock position, there was a curtain where the good guys came out. That's just the way they used to have it back then. So I, you know, God, I was an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, about my grandson's age, and I had a Polaroid camera, right? And I would go down there with the programs, because back in the day, as a matter of fact, I got Rick Flair to sign one of those programs that I had had since I was 10 years old when I was down there in Myrtle Beach. Me and him, it was pretty amazing stuff. That's a whole different story, but he signed one of those. It was called Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Magazine, and it was more like a program, like a flyer program type thing that you would buy at the fights. And every month it would have a different one. But nevertheless, I'd always have those in my hand and the old government ballpoint click pens that my dad would bring home from base. And I'd stand there in my Polaroid, and if a wrestler came out, now, of course, if they were fighting, I'd be the hell out of the way. But a lot of times they would stick their head out of the curtain there and watch the fight, you know. So that's how I met Flair for the first time. That was when he let me hold the world championship belt, the old NWA belt. So,
that's
young boy.
Yeah,
that was actually impressive. I like that one the best out of all the belts. I always thought one that was really sharp. The old school one that he won from Harley Race the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm standing there one day, and I'm waiting for somebody to poke their head out, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe it'll be Steamboat, maybe it'll be Wahoo, you know. Well, who poked his head out of that damn curtain? The crippler, Ray Stevens.
I nearly shit
my shorts, because that was when Ray Stevens was tagging with the Masked Superstar, and I think Paul Jones was managing them. And like I said, I almost shit my pants, because I was like, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and damned if he wasn't cool as hell. And let me take a picture. He didn't sign nothing. But he said, yeah, go ahead and take a picture, buddy. And I've got it somewhere.
You know, Rick Gill claims this day that Ray Stevens, like, is the best wrestler he's ever met.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he puts over Ray Stevens really good.
Now, Ray Stevens puts you in the damn tangle in the damn ring now. He wasn't no joke.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I love Ray Stevens. He was a rough dude, man. He beat the crap out of people here in Charleston. He got mad at a guy, and I don't know who he was reverend. He wasn't a big name. He beat the ever crap out of that dude. I was like, holy cow. Because he was like, apparently he did something wrong or whatever, and he threw this. I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is getting
ugly. He was
quick.
The original crippler. Right?
Yeah. He wasn't a
I
big guy.
I love
Ray
Stevens, man. No, he was tough, though.
Yeah. But he just had that presence about him that, you know, he didn't have to go out of his way to say that he would put your head through a window. You just kind of knew it.
Pretty much.
And, oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he was he was really cool, man. And like I said, for a 10-year-old kid, I guess he could see that I was like, oh, shit, you know, am I in the wrong dressing room?
Yeah, right?
Here I am expecting, you know, Jay Youngblood to come out there and high-five me or something, and it turned out being Dre Stevens. I was like, oh, shit, check, please. You know, it's...
I hear you, man.
Funny. After that, though, I thought he was cool as hell, and here I am on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday evenings, watching wrestling, and I always had a thing for the Masked Superstar as it was. So, you know, now I had all the reason in the world to pull for those guys. The Masked Superstar is one guy that I never got to meet that I always wish I could have.
Oh, Bill Eddy's awesome, dude. Let me tell you something.
He's amazing.
One of the nicest big guys in this business. And when I had my hernia surgery and I just got released to get back in the ring, I was still managing the Gambler. He came here, wrestled in Somerville against the Gambler I was managing. And he goes, all right, I'm going to grab you, bring you into the ring, you know, over the top rope. And then, because I had a golf club, I was out there, like, dressed in golf attire, saying, hey, come on, we got tea time tomorrow, 7 a.m. And I was doing all kind of dumb stuff like that. Anyway, so he goes, when I throw you in, drop the gimmick, let your guy get it. So when I turn around and I'm going to go get you, I'm going to give you the business in the corner, he can hit me from behind. I said, cool. So he grabbed me, and we're in an 18-by-18 ring. I landed in the corner, from one corner to the other corner. And he comes over there, and he was about to give me the business, and the Gambler hit him. He comes into the locker room and goes, he goes, man, you got some ups. He goes, I was scared. I said, what were you scared for? He goes, when you came over the top of me, he goes, I saw two things. The top rope and the front row. I thought you were going to hit one of the two of those. He was so nice. He was like, you scared the crap out of me, little dude. And then about 2 years later, I wrestled in New York for a week. We had a show every day. And Dave Caruso was running the show in Long Island. And they called us and said, hey, can you get a couple guys and come over and eat about three or four. And said, yeah, we got like 10. I said, who do you want? He goes, anybody who can work ain't going to cry. I said, cool. We to finish our matches where we were at, jumped in the car, drove over there, get out the car, and the first thing he goes, Velma, you're up. Your music's playing. I ran out there, beat the crap out of a kid, come back. It was funny, right? So Bill's there. Bill goes, man, I can't get away from you. He was so funny. He's like, what are you doing all the way up here from South Carolina? I said, dude, I'm on the other side of town wrestling. We get a phone call from Caruso. I said, hey, I need workers. He goes, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, we were over in the borough. I don't remember what borough. He goes, and y'all got here? I said, yeah. He was like, whatever. We had a taxi guy. I got to tell you this, too. First day we were in New York, we take a taxi to the venue, and the guy is in an old, old Lincoln Continental, like an 80s Lincoln Continental. All right, and he's not looking. We're in the left turn lane on a four-lane road. Two go forward, one goes left, one goes right. We went across all the traffic to go right in front of everybody when the lights were green. This cat did not care. He was talking to us, looking at us in the back seat while he's driving. And I'm laughing. Everybody else is freaking out. I'm like, this is awesome. So we get to, and then we get back to the hotel. He came and got us again. Took us back to the hotel. We all about to give him money. He goes, no. I said, no, everybody drop your money in that seat. I said, he earned every bit of it. And that guy was so funny because it was like, typical New Yorker, didn't give a crap about nothing. And he was going to take us wherever we needed to go. And it was funny, though, man. He was great. He took us everywhere. Hey, call me tomorrow, man. Here's my number. I was like, oh, crap. But it was fun, Bill, though. I mean, New York was fun, but go ahead.
Right, yeah, oh, man, great. Yeah, Bill told me a funny Andre the Giant story one time.
Uh-oh.
He was in a tag match, you know, the Mad Superstar, and Andre was tagging, they put him with Buddy Igor, and it turned out Andre and Buddy Igor had heat with each other, right? So Andre started the match with Mad Superstar, right? And first thing Andre says is, take it home. And Superstar's like, are you sure the bell just rang? We just started the match. He says, take it home. So they ended the match, right? Mighty Igor never got in the ring, right? So after the match, I think it was Jim Crockett, one of the promoters, goes up to that Superstar and said, what the heck was that, yada yada. So Bill takes him over Andre's, you know, getting him dressed. He said, you see that big guy over there? he's the one that told us to take it home, right? And Andre and looks back at that Superstar and says, good match, and walks away.
That's funny as hell. I can see that too. If you got heat, Andre didn't like to have heat with people, but you know, if you have heat, you ain't getting a ring, bro.
Oh man. Yeah, that cracks me up when you tell me that. Oh man.
That's funny, dude. That is really good. I heard one, I don't know who was wrestling with him, but same kind of situation. He had a heat with somebody on the other team. Don't tag him.
Yeah, he never got in the ring, right?
No, I can't remember who it was. And I'm like, that's some dirty shit right there. He goes, it's all great.
What can you do?
No, you say, yes, sir, don't take it home.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, listen. I don't care if I was 6'5". I look at him and go, no, yes, sir, you right. We going to take it
right.
over.
Right.
Shit.
What did you say, buddy?
Exactly.
Oh,
he probably
somebody
told him.
Who was it that I was watching that was doing a shoot interview, and they were talking, they were asking about Andre, and they said, was there anybody that Andre didn't like?
And without hesitation, whoever it was doing the interview said, Randy. He hated Randy Savage. And apparently the way the story went is that Randy came up to the dressing room, and I guess you didn't go to Andre's dressing room unless you were invited. And he went to Andre's dressing room, and from what I understand, Randy was one of these guys that he would have to have the plan like 3 days in advance for the match. He couldn't just go in there and call an audible,
wing.
You know what I mean? He
right, would be, wing it, right.
You know, so he went in there to go over notes with Andre. And first off, he pissed Andre off because he walked into Andre's, and because Andre was playing cards, and he interrupted the card game. And then he was covered in baby oil, and apparently Andre doesn't like baby oil. And all he did was yell, "No oil, get out, get out."
So,
and then, of course, Andre made it perfectly clear that that the match wasn't going to go on until Randy took a shower and got off that damn.
Oh, damn.
Baby oil. So,
I mean, hear about that. He got in trouble one night because he put on a bunch of baby oil after Andre sent word for him not to wear so much because, you know, it was hard to get a hold of, right? And he came out with a bunch of baby oil, and they said Andre, like, punished him the whole match, right? And then, like, the next night, they had, like, another night, and Randy came out, and he was, like, scalier in the Sahara Desert, and Andre took it easy.
Because he beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's funny looking at this wall here. Let me walk around to the back inside. And Tim, I'm sorry for all the technical difficulties, brother. We cannot get you. Our good brother Tim is trying to get in and cannot get in for some reason. The old tech side of Pop Culture Stars is not cooperating with us tonight, but nevertheless,
boom.
We know you're listening. Yeah, I know it. Let's see here. Looking at the wall, there's Tommy Rich, DDP,
oh,
Sergeant
wow.
Slaughter,
hey, baby,
Stro.
You got my autograph up there?
Animal, Koloff, Slaughter. Charlotte Flair, Mick Foley, Greg Valentine.
Even got she's supposed to be back soon. Charlotte Flair, she's supposed to be back soon on TV when we hear it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
She'll be back.
Well, they need something because that women's division is.
No, they getting some back now. Triple H is in charge. He's getting some back. Don't worry, he'll be back.
Yeah, I've heard already that because I haven't watched wrestling. Matter of fact, the night that my grandson went to Raw, that's the first time I've watched Raw in probably 3 or 4 years. And I'm trying to be positive about it, but it was awful.
There's baby steps right now because Triple H took back over and they just, you know, he's getting his people back. You know, he's getting the people he wants back because Nick Khan fired all of them.
Yeah.
And, well, that, you know, I understand when you're a publicly traded company, there's kind of a different set of rules for what you can and can't do.
Right.
But, even the guys that were out there wrestling, they were missing spots left and right, and it was just kind of, I don't know, it just wasn't the Raw I was accustomed to seeing.
And
it'll get better. It's getting better now. It's getting better now. But yeah, it'll be fine. Because from what I understand that, you know, today everybody's got a report for Nick Khan, and Triple H got promoted again, and he's like CFO now, and he's ahead of all of the talent, everything. And he told Khan, he's listen, you want to make money, you want to be a millionaire again. He goes, let me run this the way I need to run it, and let me get who I want back on the roster. And they said, okay. So,
I'm curious to see how many guys get back into it just because Vince is not there anymore.
But Braun Strowman's back at WWE.
Oh, is he?
Yep, he came out Monday night, and he was part owner with EC3 at Control Your Narrative.
I'm sure that's going to keep running, because now he's going to make big money. I'm sure that will keep running.
Well, I don't know how much he's going to be involved with Control Your Narrative now that he's back on Raw, but
financially, not he won't be there, but financially, he will be.
Yeah. But we got to meet him when we went to Texas, and he was a really nice, super guy. I really enjoyed getting to meet him.
He's a North Carolina boy. He's a Carolina boy. He better be nice. He did his ass.
He is, for a guy his size, that guy's agile as hell, man. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If y'all haven't seen him, you got to see when he plays the elf. He does the whole thing playing the elf. They did a whole bit to him. It was like a spoof off the elf movie. And pretty much Strowman's playing Will Ferrell's character, the elf, right?
Right.
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, my God, it's so funny. I'll have to find it and send it to you, Jet. It's terrible.
That's funny. Well, I got a surprise to tell y'all. This is going to be funny if this happens. So, we all were trying to go see the Savannah Banana play down in Savannah. They're always sold out.
That makes sense.
Okay, and they're a crazy baseball team. I mean, they do all kind of crazy stuff, right? So I said, you know what? I'll email them to see. Tell them, hey, you know, if you hire me, I said, I'm going to donate my paycheck to cancer research and stuff. I said, but I've been battling cancer. I'm 55 years old, blah, blah, blah. Guess what they sent me today? They sent an email. They sent me an email stating that they wanted me to try out for the team.
Oh, wow.
I went, freaking kidding me? Do I get a tryout? And whether I make that or not, I did play baseball, but whether I make that or not, being with my health issues, if they let me commentate, announce, get, you know, do crazy stuff on the field, and if they pay me, I'm still going to donate my money to charity. So,
nice.
I was like, that'd be awesome, you know, because it's going to take me, well, it's not going to happen until spring anyway, so I got time, but it's going to take me a good hot minute to get back in some kind of shape, because I have zero cardio. And I sucked it up today. I was working on, like I told Dave, I was working on their table building stupid things for this Samsung display. Oh, my God. Anyway, so we get to the last night, I talked to my buddy and said, listen, it takes 3 to 3.5 hours. We're going to do it in record time. I said, let's rock it. So I'm ripping everything apart, putting it aside. He's putting it together, going nuts. We did it in 2 hours and 45 minutes. It was a record. I said, good, because
nice.
I want to go home. I said, hurry up, take the pictures, and send it to the guy so we can get out of here. And my buddy's like, you're anal. I said, dude, it's 6 o'clock in the evening. We should have been done. We got held up by some old ladies putting in their phones. They got this new phone deal from the government. You get a free phone that can it's voice automated. And also if you, it's got a screen that if I'm talking to you and you don't have the receiver on, it'll say everything that I'm saying to you. It'll write it out for you so you can see it. So it's basically for people who are hard of hearing. And we went, and I got hit on by an 88-year-old lady. She told me, she goes, well, it's about an hour away, and an hour we have happy hour. You come on down, and we'll go to happy hour. You'll be my date. I went, yeah, I don't think so. I got work to do. She goes, I'm getting the same phone on the 15th. I hope you guys come and put my phone in. I went, oh, shit. So yeah, that was my day. My day was full of all kind of craziness. Craziness, man, craziness.
That's when you tell her, hey, bring 31 of your friends and we'll have a full set of teeth.
Oh, no, this woman was in better shape than most people. She had all her real teeth. She had all her real teeth. She's rich as hell, rich as hell. Listen, these people living in this brand new facility in Somerville are paying at least $60,000 to $80,000 a year to live there. And they got my buddy who's looking at the statue, and he goes Ricola, because he's got the guy dressed as an Alps guy, blowing that horn. That thing costs more than two cars. And they got it from Sweden. I went, holy
Jesus
shit.
Jesus Christ.
They got the two places we went in that place. This one married couple, they were there. We did their phone, and then that lady was their friend, and we're going to do her phone, but went in both apartments. But they got trinkets that are probably $10,000. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, geez. And the lady told me, the old lady that was hitting on me, she goes, real estate's where it's at. I said, you're probably right. She goes, my husband invested in real estate. She goes, I don't have to worry about money. I went, well, damn, well, give me some shit.
Yeah, that's
I said, I'm broke.
That much of a pain in your ass carrying it around, you know?
Hey, listen.
Wow.
It's funny. You meet crazy people, but these people, we stayed there for an hour just shooting the shit with these old people because they were lonely, you know, and their kids are, one's on James Island, one's somewhere else, but they came to South Carolina because they got tired of Florida. So I was like, that's pretty cool. I thought I was pretty cool. But, yeah, it was a good time. And I was like, I thank my buddy Dan. I said, Dan, thank you for getting us out of there. I said, I think that old lady was going to jump my bones. I said, I have to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, you're 88. I'm thinking to myself, she's 88. Yeah. When the cops come, what happened? Well, you know, we tried to do something. She had a heart attack.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's not me. No, I'm not doing that. Go ahead.
And that's the bad news. That's bad news with being a guy, is that if some dude is creeping on a chick, then the next thing you know, the guy's up against the wall in a damn, you know, set of cuffs in the whole damn 9 yards. All right, you creep.
Oh, yeah.
Get in the car. But you get somebody creeping on a dude, and he walks up, hey, this lady's over here creeping on me. Dude, shut up.
Right, exactly. You're exactly right. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, I'm not worried about your problem. Idiot. That's funny. You're right, though.
Apparently in South Carolina, there is another, or maybe it was North Carolina. It was one of the Carolinas. Imagine that. Another teacher, 36 years old, had a young man of 15 years in her house, and apparently she was arrested, released on bond, and was told by the magistrate, you do not meet, contact, or get anywhere near this youngster, yak, yak, yak. And apparently he was going to her house at night and crashing over there. And
wow.
You know, in the meantime, you know what's bad is that if it was a 36-year-old guy doing it with a 15-year-old chick, it's like, Oh, my God, let's put them
under
the jail.
You're going to get buried. You're going to get buried.
Yeah, but in the meantime, it's a 15-year-old kid with a 36-year-old school teacher, and everybody's standing back going, yeah?
Maybe he has to do some extra homework.
Yeah, this
kid. It's Donnie Baker.
Of course.
You remember that? That's my boy.
Yeah. You got to wait to see the teacher first, because some of them come on out and you're like, ooh, yeah. We need to press charges.
We had one in eighth grade that was like 22 years old, wearing skirts and shit at school, like little ones, and I'm like, holy shit.
Well, Stro, you remember Coach Turner at Tabernacle, right? Coach Turner would be looking up everybody's shorts when they were doing leg lifts and everything. You remember that? Because
yeah.
They used to have us wearing those damn crack shower gym shorts all the time, and she'd be walking
and
doing the leg lifts or something. She's looking right at your shorts, and you're like, dude, I'm eighth grade. I'm doing good to have a little turf on the field. No need looking up my pant leg.
Right.
I'm sure there's.
We had a female one in eighth grade too, but she was cross-eyed.
Yeah.
It was Jake cross-eyed. So we used to fuck with her all the time. She goes, "Do I need to go stand in the corner? Which one are you looking at? You're looking at two different ones." You used to mess with her all the time. Mad as hell, running laps all the time.
Oh.
I mean, if we had had crazy eyes back in the day, oh, we'd have done that to her, probably. I'm sure we were. We were pretty bad. We were hellions in eighth grade, man. We knew we were going to high school and we were going to get our ass kicked, but we said, hey, this is our last year in middle school. Let's have fun, because we did. And then we got our ass kicked our freshman year. But it's all good.
Yeah, eighth grade's one of those odd years where you think you're king shit of Doogie Mountain, because normally you're in junior high and you're turning into a teenager, you're getting a little more liberty and you feel like you're the man, and then you have that huge culture shock of being a freshman in high school, and all of a sudden it's like, I am not the biggest guy on campus.
You're not cool anymore.
Yeah, you've got to have a quick attitude adjustment. You walk into high school with that chip on your shoulder, man, oh, man, oh, man. It is like flying on dog shit. Yeah. And whatever you do, don't bow up and try to be cool, man, because the word will get around quick.
We knew what was coming because they already told us, when y'all get here, we beat y'all up. All right, cool. Let's go.
But you know what's funny? And I know this is going to sound awful, me saying this, but when I went to school, the teachers were all, I had many, many very fantastic, endearing, wonderful teachers. I was blessed with a lot of them. Some of them I still keep in contact with. But when it comes down to the 26-year-old tanned, hair done up to the sky teachers, we didn't have that back then.
No, we didn't either. We just had that one, and she was only there a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, I'm out here spraying the high schools, or spraying the schools in general in the summertime with my business. And, Rob was out there helping me, my son, and he disappeared on me. And I was like, where the hell did he go, man? And I'm like, damn, I'm paying this kid money. Where the hell is he at? Well, I finally found out he was there. There was two teachers that was moving band equipment from one room to another room. He's over there holding the door for him, right? So I happened to work. I don't say anything to him. So I happened to work myself up to a point where he's in shouting distance, and I holler over there to him. I said, come here. I says, dude, we ain't got time to play doorman out here. We got to go. And just about that time, he goes, hang on, Pop, I'll be right back with you. And he runs and grabs the door. You should have seen these two teachers that were walking with the band equipment. I was like, dude, you go hold that door all you want.
Right? Exactly.
What has happened to the phone systems here? My God. You know, it's like,
crazy.
Whoa. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I'd never make it to high school these days.
Hell no.
I was a menace when I was there. Christ knows what I'd be like now. Good Lord.
What are you doing under that desk? Nothing.
Nothing? What's that thumping sound?
Why is your
Nothing.
Hand in your pants? Yeah, why is your
yeah.
hand in your pants? Can you do me
are
a
you
favor? Can
to...
you go back to teaching and turn around?
Yeah. Are you talking to Pamela Anderson? No, I'm talking to 15
oh.
of Brinkley.
You know, Tim's not here, so I'll pick on Tim. I said, Tim, what are you doing? He goes, I got a vodka in this hand, and I'm drinking this one, and I got my hand in a glass of vodka. I said, what for? He goes, I'm getting my date drunk. Y'all didn't get it? Come on, get it. He had his hand in the glass getting his date drunk. Sorry, Tim.
One of my favorite ones is when the three guys are walking down the beach and they walk up on this one chick, just total knockout, hardly got anything on. And two of the guys are like, damn, damn. And the one guy's covering his eyes and keeps walking, right? So they keep right on walking. They come by a second lady wearing less, that much more attractive. The same two guys are like, holy God, dear, oh my God. And the one guy covers his eyes up, keeps walking by, you know. So they keep walking. They come up to a third chick, right? Total knockout. And the two of them are like, good Lord, man, she's fine as hell. And the one guy still got his eyes covered up. They finally turn around to him and said, dude, what is your problem, man? We keep walking by all these hot women, and you're not staring at them, man. What's going on? And he says, well, my mom always told me if I looked at a woman with lust in my heart that I would turn to stone. And I could feel parts of me getting hard all over.
Oh, damn it.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a joke you can tell the kids.
Yeah, okay.
So, Stro, before we get to, because we're getting deep in the deep into time, and before I have any more off-color jokes my mother wouldn't be proud of, how did Craven go this weekend, man? Talk to me.
Oh, yeah, it went great. Oh, it was a good time. Yeah, and a really good turnout, too. JC's gotten that fairgrounds place looking really nice, too.
Yeah.
And they've redone the stage part of it and everything, and it was cool seeing everybody there. I did a wrestling panel at noon, which was really cool. And the panel was good. I mean, it was a good time all around. They had, like, outdoor events as well as indoor events there at the fairgrounds. And it was a really good time. And their next big event is September 14th through the 18th. They're having a big fall festival those days, most of the week. And, like that Friday and Saturday, they've got musical at acts at night on stage. I want to say Bridge Atlantic is performing Friday night, and then Brian Mayers is performing that Saturday night on the stage.
Well, that's cool.
And I'll be there that Friday and Saturday night. I mean, well,
nice.
Saturday, you know, I'll be there at the festival, rather. But, I mean, that their night musical performances, Friday night would be Bridge Atlantic, and then Saturday night would be Brian Mayers. But, yeah, they've got a place looking really good.
Yeah, because that place, if I recall, was kind of in a rough state of affairs for a while. And, yeah, because on the pics that I saw, it looked like it had been, you know, dressed up. So, yeah, that's good to hear, man, because I'd have gone to it, but when I got the word, because Josh Mayers got hold of me and said, hey, you want to go? And I was like, I can't get enough books fast enough. You know what's funny about writing books and ordering books? If you order, if you order author copies, you can go into Amazon under your heading and order author copies of books at a reduced amount, right? And you still got to pay shipping on it, but it'll take 2 to 3 weeks for you to get the books.
Right.
Right.
But in the meantime, you can go into your heading, drop the retail on your books on Amazon, and order the damn things with your Amazon Prime so you don't have to pay shipping. And even though you will pay maybe 25 cents more a copy than you would doing it through author copies, not only if you use your Amazon Prime, you don't have to pay the shipping, but then you get the damn thing for like 4 days flat. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
As well.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if they run the presses harder and, the binding presses harder or what, but, yeah, nevertheless, it just wasn't the stars didn't align, and there was no way I was going to be able to get out there and party down with you guys. But, yeah, that was it looked like everything was going good, man. That's why I figured I'd ask and see what your experience was. Might be something we have to do again.
They've got a bunch of stuff coming up if you can check out, you know.
And our good buddy Dr. John has got a lot of stuff planned ahead, which I'm looking forward to and everything. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that that show went well because, again, you know, for Stro and myself, that is local stuff. That is home field advantage, and it's kind of nice to have that where you're not the stranger or you're not having to drive 2-3 hours out of your way and, hell, for Stro, sometimes 2 or 3 hours a day off for him, but
oh yeah,
I don't know how the hell you do it when it comes down to the traveling, because I see you're at shows, but then I see where they're at and I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, how did he get out there?
I don't know either, really. Yeah, I got a con coming up in West Virginia, Bluefield, end of the month.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's on the Sunday, I think. It's an expo. It's at a skating rink, actually, having a combination con wrestling event.
That's cool.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a hump, though, man. Good Lord.
Yeah.
You probably go through, like, Roanoke, Virginia and all that. What is that, 85 you take up?
Well, this Bluefield, I kind of go, like, hit 40 to 77. Because it's just past the Virginia border.
Okay.
So it's not knee deep in West Virginia. It's just like right as you pass that border, there's Bluefield, basically the first town.
Oh, okay. So it's almost like a Maryland, Virginia type thing. Yeah. Well, that helps.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that the home? Good grief. Well, I think we're getting close to that time, so it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to go ahead and swat it around the room and get everybody's parting shots, because I know we got a lot going on and we need to get it out there for everybody to know. So, Stro, do you want to go ahead and lead off, man?
Sure. Thank you. Tomorrow night, WWE Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on BeardsNation.com. We'll be talking about the career of Sting. So you got any cool Sting memories and moments you'd like to share, please call in. That'll be fun. Friday night, Stro Zone, my horror sci-fi show at midnight Eastern Standard Time on Facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature will be They Live starring Roddy Piper. So please tune in for that.
Oh, nice. Good movie.
And then...
Yeah, it is.
Last Saturday... Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. one of my all-time favorites, man. Saturday, I'll be a special guest at the Power Comic Con in Florence, South Carolina, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Florence Center. north, so if you're in the Florence, South Carolina area, come on, see us. I know we think about you guys there in Jacksonville through the Minicon, Dave.
Yeah.
Hope that goes good.
Yeah, I think we're going to do all right. To be honest with you, I think we're going to do better than I'm getting a little concerned about the amount of books that I have on hand. And we shall see. If I run out of books, that's good news. But if I run out of books, that's bad news. So,
yep.
Yeah, we shall see. But, yeah, man, appreciate you joining us this evening and everything. And we still got to get together. Now things are they're not really slowing down for me. I'm still this is peak time of the year. And without giving you guys the dirty numbers, but I've made more in the last 2 months than what I will for the other 10 months.
Wow.
So we got about another month and a half of hard stroking, and then the once November hits, things kind of turn a little bit. Folks start focusing on the holidays and the weather changes and all that, so the pressure washing kind of eases off. But yeah, I look forward to getting out there and getting some shows under my belt this winter. And like I said, I know Dr. John's got a lot of stuff brewing. So, but yeah, man, good to have you aboard. Appreciate you coming on by. And like I said, when the stars align and things cool off a little bit, man, we're going to get together, break some bread. I got to give you some posters anyway for the February show.
Okay.
But yeah, man. Definitely appreciate you.
Looking forward to Havelock, too, by the way. The Havelock. Are you going to be Havelock one, too?
You are going to Havelock then, right?
Yeah.
Ah, sweet, dude. Yeah, I think that's going to sneak up on us. I think that one's going to be kind of, I'm going in there prepared. How's that? I think it's going to be one of those ones that catches us with our britches down. So, and hopefully it will. That'll be good news, you know. But yeah, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate the input. Always good shooting the breeze with you, man. Good to have you aboard.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Granny, what kind of parting shots do you have, young lady?
Well, I really don't have any parting words. Just hope everybody has a great rest of the week and just be good to each other. And it was awesome having Stro and Velvet on with us tonight. And it was good to have Velvet back. It's been a long time since Velvet's been able to join us, so it was good to have him on with us. So, sorry, Tim, we couldn't get you on. I don't, you know, sometimes Blog Talk just does its own thing. I think it has a mind of its own sometimes, but, you know, just, you know, love you guys, and I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week, you know, so.
Outstanding. Yeah, I was sitting there fighting it, and you guys saw the text going back and forth. I'm like, nope, still don't see you. I don't know. Yeah, Blog Talk sometimes is a little squirrely.
Yep.
Yeah. So tonight was one of those squirrely evenings, so show. But Granny, it was great to have you back. Great to have you on this evening. Actually, it's kind of nice because the last 2 months have been kind of rough on all of us when it comes down to work schedules and health issues and time and everything else going on. We've been missing a couple shows of late, and it's just real life. Sometimes real life is more important than the
And it gets in the way. That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely good to have you guys aboard this evening, man. It's it's very refreshing. And I appreciate you joining me. Now, Velvet, talk to me. What you got going on?
Well, other than treatment, my last treatment Monday to Wednesday next week, really nothing. I'm trying to hopefully be good enough to go be on retro tomorrow and then back on pro wrestling interviews. It just depends on the rest of this week because I've been struggling in the first part of the week. Now I'm today was a good day. Tomorrow could be crash and burn. Don't know. Or it could be Friday or Saturday. I just don't know. And then other than that, you know, I'm glad I got to call in. I love the show. I love you guys. And it's fun always being able to talk, just regular talking, you know. So far we didn't go down that rabbit hole, which was good. So normally we go down that rabbit hole really quick. We didn't. We stayed on point with what we were talking about. So that was pretty good. Other than that, that's it, man. Let's get it.
Yeah, man. Well, I'll tell you what, it was awesome. I appreciate you joining us this evening, and it's always good to hear you. When I saw you pop up in the queue, I was like, hot damn. All right. So,
yeah, man, appreciate it. You know, do what
yeah,
I can do.
Dude,
I mean, I don't know I got to play it day by day right now.
Yeah, well, you know, but the thing about it is I still, to this moment, if you had to ask me, as I fight the back door here, I swear, I'm going to crowdfund a new back door for this goddamn house. Nevertheless, you know, we all know what you're going through, and there ain't a day go by where, you know, we don't...
I know, y'all acknowledge it. Yeah, that's cool. And then, you know, people call me and... you know, shoot me stuff here and there, which is good. So, you know, it's good to know that people are still paying attention to what's going on, you know, with other people,
and
their friends and their families.
The biggest thing you got going for you right now is your positivity, man. I tell you what, for all the stuff you've been through, you keep laughing, you keep cutting up, you keep getting it.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what nobody says. It hurts as much as you allow it. And you know, just keeping that's where it's at, because if you don't keep your chin up, the darkness will come get you.
My buddies are like, hey, you ain't laying around. I said, you're going with us. I said, okay, let's go. They'll come over and get me. They're like, what are you doing? Nothing. Get in the car. Okay? That's how that works. I'm like, okay, whatever. But, if they know if I'm struggling, they don't mess with me. They just say, hey, we'll call you later or whatever. But they know, you know, I try to keep that to myself, you know. Not tell everybody in the world, but sometimes, you know, when people call you and you're like, look, man, I'd love to talk to you, but I can't.
Yeah.
I'm struggling right
bad
now.
Time. Yeah.
But
it is what it is.
I mean, I don't,
yeah,
I,
that's,
don't I try not to think about it at any point of the day. I know I got things I got to deal with. I just deal with them, and I keep moving, because once my feet hit the floor in the morning, it's on.
Right.
That's how
right.
I look at it. Let's go.
And, you know, as I said a lot of times with this COVID stuff, when it went on, I says, you either got to get on living or you got to get on dying. And, when you're
getting
into these obstacles, you got two ways of tackling it. You can either let it tackle you or you tackle it.
Nope.
And,
I mean, there's
just
some days you can't do it, but you just, yeah. There's some days you just can't do everything. Oh, no, I still have fun. I still have to fight. It's just that, you know, I know my limitation when it comes to that. Don't hurt yourself. Don't go do something stupid. You know, don't be doing all this other stuff. So, I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to pay attention to what your body's telling you and deal with it and then go on about your day.
Right. You know, even Chuck Norris gets hit in the face every now and then. So, I mean, how you got to kind of tackle it and everything. But, yeah, it was definitely good to hear your voice, man. Definitely
You're
appreciate
cool,
you joining us this evening, man, because, I mean, it definitely is a fine way of ending the evening hearing from you guys, man, because it's we've been hit and miss lately, and you know, like I said, real life, you know, it gets you by the arm sometimes, no matter for a good reason or a bad reason. But yeah, definitely appreciate you guys joining. Now this evening, real quick, like with my stuff, got a busy bit going on. We have got the Jacksonville Minicon coming up at Lion's Eye Games and New River Shopping Center this Saturday, and I will be there. Dr. John will be there signing one of his many publications, and the Boyd brothers, the Brothers Boyd YouTube personalities, they will be there. They've just joined in to the fray. So we'll be in there cutting up, having a good time Saturday. And then there may be a Books A Million signing coming up here around Halloween. Just waiting to find out when I can make that happen. I want to do it right around October, so that way, you know, that's a good horror suspense type mood, catch everybody right then. But then, of course, we've got Havelock, as Stro alluded to. That is, the 19th, I believe, of November. I think that one's going to sneak up on us. I still think that one's going to be one that, because nothing goes on in Havelock, not to bash the place, but I mean, if you've ever been to Havelock, there's Cherry Point, and then there's Cherry Point. And I think Dr. John going out there and trying to put a flag in the ground and bringing those folks a good show, I think is really gonna get things going. So we're working on a couple people getting out there, a couple more personalities and everything, some local folks of our con family and all. So as the names get added, I'll be more than happy to share them here.
Cool.
So the following weekend, we've got, okay, so that's going to be a busy weekend because my anniversary is on the 17th on a Friday. No, that's on a Thursday. And then the Havelock show is on a Saturday on the 19th. Then we got Thanksgiving that Thursday. We eat. We take a great big dump Thursday night. Friday morning, we get in the truck. We drive to Myrtle Beach for the Grand Strand Con. On, what is that, 26, 27? It's the Black Friday weekend, whatever the hell that is, at the Myrtle Beach Convention Center. And then we go into the Jacksonville show on February 18th, which I am working on getting some of our old crowd together, our own old con crowd, and I'm trying to shake up some of my Walking Dead contacts and that kind of jazz. And this little COVID delay kind of, because what happened during COVID is that when we weren't doing the cons, people just went back to living, so to speak. And now all the people that was doing the cons are now working 60-hour-a-week jobs and that kind of jazz, and it's hard for them to get away. But nevertheless, we're going to try to get a fistful of names and everything. Oh, and Josh Alexander, cosplay master, award-winning cosplay guy. Josh is fantastic. Stro, I know you crossed paths with him before. Great guy. He is going to be our cosplay commander-in-chief guy. So Josh's got a ton of talent and loves the cosplay thing. He could head all that up. So anyway, because that was something of the Craven show. It looked like everybody came dressed up, man. And I was like, wow, look at this. You know, normally when you have something like that, it's all blue jeans and T-shirts, but it looked like there was a lot of cosplay going on in that Craven show. So,
oh, that was a good time.
Yeah, busy couple months coming up. So look forward to seeing everybody, shaking hands, making some new friends and everything.
in the event you're looking for a home decor on the geek side of things, it's Geek Cave Creations on Etsy, all art by yours truly, and then on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and wherever else books may be panhandled, you've got The Hunger series by Dave Atwell. Pick them up. Fat kid needs the money. Anyhow.
Stupid. Fat kid needs the money. That's funny.
Yeah, man. Fat kid's got to have the money. But with all that being said, I guess I will creep into Atwell Manor, cue in that British lady. I still have a little bit of cigar left, oddly enough, and might come out here, dodge the raindrop a little bit, finish the cigar out. That's the whole, you know how when it's raining, how you don't get wet. You just got to run in between the raindrops.
That's funny.
That is how it's done. Of course, when you get my size, it gets harder and harder to do, but...
Oh, stop it. It's silly.
All right. Where is that British lady?
All right, guys. Y'all have a great rest of your week.
Do the same, man. Appreciate you guys joining us, and we hope everybody has a wonderful week.
Thank y'all.
And thank you again for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars. See you guys next week.
All right. Later. Yep.
British
right.
lady. British you
lady.
Is British. Oh, wait a minute. And there we go to Spectrum. No internet. I might have to do the manual shutoff.
All right. Well, y'all see y'all later.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to do the manual shutoff and Spectrum cable. All sucks.
Right. All later. Right.
Later. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you next week. Pop Culture Stars. Thank you for calling Pop Culture Stars. Goodbye. Isn't that how she does it? All right. So much for my career as a British lady.